Good evening and greetings to each of you this evening in the wonderful name of my blessed Savior, one who died for me, paid the cost of my redemption. By way of introduction, I stand before you as one of the worst sinners in the whole wide world. But I'm thankful that I can say my sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ and remembered against me no more. And I just praise the Lord, I've become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just love to serve Jesus. I love to hear his voice. I love to follow him because he's the only way that leads home. I had the privilege of marrying my childhood sweetheart. The Lord blessed us with 7 children. 30 grandchildren. God is far better to me and to us than what we deserve. So much for an introduction. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 14th chapter. Growing up in the Christian life, where are you on that? You know, when we were little children, we sometimes needed to go to the doctor, and they'd put us on a scale, and they'd measure how tall we are, and sometimes our parents did that. They were interested in seeing normal growth in our physical stature and development. And so the blessed Savior is interested in our spiritual growth, our spiritual height. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. We sang that. And that was a tremendous prayer that we sang. As we sang that song, a tremendous prayer, it really was. But so often the Lord tries to lift us up and we lay in the gutter and say, I don't wanna. Here's the road I want to take. You know what I'm talking about? Self-denial. All right, let's see what Jesus has to say here in Luke 14. I'll begin reading at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man, incidentally this means a woman too for that matter, if any man come to me and hate not his father nor his mother and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And we'll stop reading there. Cost of discipleship, the Christian, and self-denial. Now, for the sake of the youth and children, let me explain what Jesus had in mind in verse 26 when he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, nor his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That word hate comes from the Greek word, which means to love less. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, nobody will make it to heaven who doesn't love Jesus more than any earthly friend, parent, spouse, whoever. You've got to love Jesus first, with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, if you want to get to heaven. By way of introduction this evening, Self-denial and cross-bearing are practically identical twins. We all know what identical twins are. Self-denial and cross-bearing are like identical twins. And yet, self-denial must precede cross-bearing. You've got to deny yourself first of all, and then take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus, you see. You don't take up your cross and then deny self. No, but you need to deny yourself, and then you're in a position where you can take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Letter C, self-denial and cross-bearing is a choice. Please understand that. Denying ourselves doesn't come into focus in circumstances that come our way that we have no control over whatsoever. I'll explain that in greater detail and momentarily. May I state again, self-denial and cross-bearing is a choice that you and I have to make. Letter D, therefore, it is not circumstances beyond our control, rather how we relate to the circumstances. And let me illustrate this. When I was young married, we had a brother in a home church whose wife died. She was up in years, and he was too for that matter, and she passed on from this life. And that dear brother, bless his heart, he had the courage to have the prayer meeting topic within a week, if I remember correctly, of his wife's funeral. Bless his heart for that. I don't know if we could find a spiritual giant in our churches today who would be willing to do that or not. And he talked about self-denial. And then he made a statement that I scratched my head, because it didn't quite ring clear. He said these words concerning his wife's passing. He said, I believe it's my cross to bear to live alone without a wife. Did he have a choice in that? Did he have a choice in that? God chose to take away his wife. He didn't have a choice in that. But cross-bearing for him was to accept graciously the circumstances that God put in his life. You see, he couldn't change the former, but he had a choice in how he was going to relate and to accept God's plan for his life. Letter E. Self-denial affects every area of life. If you're taking notes, jot this one down. Self-denial affects every area of life. It affects our eating, our sleeping, our clothing, our driving, our hairstyles, our speaking, our singing, our working, our... Are you with me? Should I start over and go a little slower? I'll do that. We want them pages to get filled, not go home with not much on it. All right. Self-denial affects every area of life. It can affect our eating habits, our sleeping habits, how we adorn our body, our clothing. It should affect the way we drive our cars. It should affect the choice of our cars. It should affect our hairstyles. It should affect the way we talk one with another. Are you with me? Can I go on to the next one? It should affect the songs that we sing and the reason that we sing. It should affect our working habits and the very reason we go off to work. It should affect what we look at and what we listen to. It should affect our shopping. And probably most of all, it does affect our thinking. For that's where the battle takes place in our mind, of whether we will go my way or Jesus' way. Right up here is the battleground. I'd like to share this message from 4 points that begin with the letter C. First one, the call to self-denial. Secondly, the cost of self-denial. And then the compensation of self-denial. And then just a few concluding thoughts. The call to self-denial. This call comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Word of God. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me if you want to get to heaven. That's a call from Jesus. This call comes to young people. It comes to adults. It comes to parents. It comes to grandparents. It comes to the preacher. It comes to the janitor. It comes to the rich. And it comes to the poor. The call of denying yourself and doing what you know God wants you to do. For the sake of the young people here this evening, I appreciate you sitting up front. That makes preaching a whole lot easier. God bless you for doing that. When I was your age, I didn't really know what cross-bearing was. I never heard a preacher really explain it in lay terms that I, as a young teenager, could understand it. I would like to help you understand what cross-bearing really is in a very practical way this evening. We think of a cross, it's two timbers that are like this, that intersect partway up from the upright to the horizontal. It's an intersection. Cross. Picture that in your mind. That wooden tree that Jesus hung on as he was crucified was an intersection, an upright and a horizontal. Cross-bearing is when you and I in our thought life comes to the understanding, I want to do this. But the Bible says, let me give you an illustration. When I was a youth, I think I was only 17 or 18 years of age, I wanted to become an auctioneer. And I did a little research and discovered out there in Missouri, there's an auctioneer school. And I wanted to go there. I sent off an application to go to St. Louis Auctioneer School because I wanted to become an auctioneer. I had the application laying at home in my desk in my bedroom. One day my mother said, Elvin, Papa and I are a little concerned about your soul at your young age if you leave home and go out there to St. Louis, Missouri to learn to auctioneer. Would you give it up? My way or God's way? You know, I wanted to go, but that still small voice, the Holy Spirit said, God says, obey your parents, honor them, submit yourself to them. And you know what, brothers and sisters, young folks, I'm glad I honored my parents. To this day, I am grateful for my parents' concern, godly advice. Not that there's something wrong with being an auctioneer, but it wouldn't have been good for me, I know that. That's cross-bearing. When you, in your minds, you want to do this or that or the other thing, and you know God says something different. Denying yourself. Saying no to myself. I will voluntarily and graciously accept God's will for my life. I will take up my cross and follow Jesus. Now, is that easy enough for you young folks to understand what cross-bearing is? Yes? No? Oh, thank you for giving me that affirmation of shaking your head yes. That's what we're talking about tonight. In our minds, having a desire to do something, go somewhere, wear some kind of clothing, And mom and dad, or the church, or the Bible, straight out of the Bible, we know God's way is something different than my way. Jesus said, you must, if you want to get to heaven, you must. There's a few musts in the Bible, but this is one of them. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It came, this is a universal call, and it came to the rich young ruler. Turn with me momentarily over to Mark, the 10th chapter. Cross-bearing, growing in our experience of cross-bearing. Mark 10, verses 17 through 29. After I read this, I'm going to ask you, and I'd like an answer from the audience, what this man had to do to get to heaven. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Amazing. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. What did this man have to do to get to heaven? Somebody tell me.
Go, sell, give, come, take, and follow.
Is that what the Bible says? And misplaced treasure. What did he have to do to get to heaven? What's Jesus telling us here in this account? He didn't say you've got to sell everything you have to get to heaven. He said if you do that, you'll have great treasure in heaven. But then he said, follow me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through Jesus. You know, I looked at a map to discover how one of the different roads that lead up here to Northeast, and we could have taken a whole lot of different roads. But listen, young folks, there's only one road that leads to heaven, and that is following Jesus. And every one of us, listen carefully, every one of us has something we must give up to follow Jesus. Self-denial. It came to the disciples, let's turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, where Jesus called his disciples here. Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. You know what? Let me pause here in this reading just to say this. They put me to shame. They put me to shame many times. Just at the invitation for them to lay everything aside and follow Jesus, they did it straightway. Have you grown in your Christian life that that could be written about you in a history book? And whatever God calls you to do, you just lay everything else aside and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. What a challenge. How closely are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? When he asks you to do a certain thing, maybe he calls you to be a song leader in the church here at Lakeview. Or maybe he calls you to be a preacher. Or maybe he calls you to be a janitor. Do you understand it, that God calls through the church? And are you a willing follower of the call and claim of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Are you a ready worker for him in his kingdom? Or do you, like the disciples did when Jesus was being led to the crucifixion, they followed afar off? I'm like that too often. The call came to Jonah 2 times. You know that very familiar story. The call came to Ezekiel in Ezekiel, the 4th chapter. God called Ezekiel to eat a roll, which was simply to eat a book. We wouldn't understand it today as to eat a book. Eat a book, God told Ezekiel, and he did so. And then he told Ezekiel to lay on his left side for 390 days without turning. All day long, lay on your left side for over a year, 390 days. And after laying on his left side for 390 days without turning, God told him to lay on his right side now for 40 days. And that all represented some biblical prophecy that God was bringing to Israel. And then God told Ezekiel for 430 days, he was to eat 20 shekels weight of bread made from wheat, barley, beans, and lentils, baked over a fire, listen carefully, a fire that was fueled by human dung for 430 days. And Ezekiel said, Oh God, I just can't do that. I can't eat my pottage that was made over a fire of human dung. I just can't do that. And God said, okay, then use cow's dung. Listen, there's a real lesson here. If God asks you to do something that you seem to be impossible, there's a place to converse with God and tell him why you just can't do this. But mark it down, just like Ezekiel, you let God have the last word. Did you hear what I said? You let God have the last word. Then God told Ezekiel in chapter 5, shave your head and weigh the hair. You talk about a scale, intricate scales they must have had in Ezekiel's day. Shave your head, weigh the hair, divide it into 3 parts, one part burn in fire, one part smite into pieces with a knife, and the other part throw to the wind. And of course, that all had prophetical resemblance of what God was going to do to the children of Israel. God called Ezekiel to do all of these things, and he just obeyed. Do you think he had to deny himself? Is your relationship with God and you denying yourself anything at all compared to Ezekiel? Mine isn't. Jesus still calls people today. Sometimes he calls people to do strange things. I know a preacher who's gone to be with the Lord now, and but while he was a dairy farmer here in this neighboring state, he had a pretty prosperous dairy farm. He told me this story himself. I never forgot it. He said one morning after he milked his cows, he was on his way from the milk house to the breakfast table. walking from the milk house to the breakfast table, and the Spirit of God came upon him and said, Marvin, I want you, before you eat breakfast, to go into your office and calculate the balance in your checkbook. Bring it up to date and write a checkout for every penny and send it to Mennonite Air Missions. Now, Brother Marvin said he argued with the Holy Spirit. We just don't do that. We don't empty our checkbooks. And the Spirit said, Marvin, you know you're getting a milk check this Thursday. Empty your checkbook, every penny, and send it to Mennonite Air Missions. This was in your lifetime, the lifetime of many. God still calls people today to do strange things at times. So finally, after quite a bit of deliberating with God, Marvin sits down at his desk, calculates the exact amount that he has left in his checkbook, wrote a check out for Mennonite Air Missions, and put it in the mailbox. Sometime later, he met the treasurer of Mennonite Air Missions, Brother Lewis Martin from Wisconsin. And Brother Lewis says to Brother Marvin, hey, Brother Marvin, do you remember such and such a check that you sent us to Mennonite Air Missions? And of course, how would you forget an incident like that? Marvin said, yes, I remember it. He said, I wanted you to know something. I had bills that were due and I didn't have the money to pay it. And your check covered the bills that were due to the very penny. Only God can orchestrate things like that. And I want to remind us tonight, if God asks something strange of you, if you're a young person, you better seek counsel of your parents or someone. Let me quickly insert that. But God knows what he's doing. And he has a right to everything we have. Go sell what you have. Give to the poor, and you shall have great treasure in heaven. Now, I'm not telling you here tonight that you should go empty your checkbook and send it to any particular mission. I'm not. This is God's business. My concern tonight is, brethren, sisters, young folks, follow Jesus. Deny yourself. When you know you want to do something, you want to go somewhere, you want to wear a certain kind of clothing, you want to comb your hair in a certain style, and your parents say, oh, yeah. When I was a teenager, there was a time when I was rebellious. I share that to my own shame. A rebellious youth, too many years of my life. There came into our community a family from another state that didn't have a father. Two young boys, my age, didn't have a father. And I thought these boys were just pretty nice. And I started hanging out with them and running around with them. And again, my mother came to me one night and she said, Alvin, Pop and I have some real concern about your traveling with these two boys. Please back off in your relationship with them. Cross-bearing. The last I knew, both of those boys were divorced and maybe remarried. Young people, please tonight, please deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the right way. Follow Jesus. Thirdly, the cost of self-denial. The cost may be extremely high. However, the cost diminishes when you and I get a proper vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. When we see Jesus hanging on the cross, bleeding, wounded, for our selfishness, for our own foolishness, for our own pride and arrogance and rebellion. When we see Jesus hanging on that cross, looking into our eyes and say, I denied myself and suffered for your redemption. I want to tell you, it makes a great difference in how you and I are willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May I repeat, letter B, however, the cost diminishes when we get a proper vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter C, 1 John 5 and verse 3, God's commandments are not grievous. That word grievous comes from the Greek word, God's commandments are not heavy. God's commandments aren't stern. They're not cruel. They're not burdensome. Praise the Lord. Even to Brother Marvin, who he asked, empty your checkbook. It wasn't cruel. You see, because God loves us so much, so much, so much. The Lord Jesus loves us so much, so much. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is what? What? Say it again a little louder. You're a little weak, brothers and sisters. For my yoke is and my burden is. Have you experienced that? Why then do we dig in our heels? And we say, we know God wants us to do something, but we want to do something else. Why then would we choose to go our own way? More of that momentarily. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I asked you this question here at Lakeview Mennonite Church. Are you a kingdom worker? Are you a more active kingdom worker, a fisher of men, than you were 5 years ago? Are you growing spiritually? Do you have more courage to talk to people at the pump or out there on the street or wherever about being an awful sinner, but you've been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb? And I don't know your condition, but I know this. Jesus saves sinners to the worst of sinners, of whom I've been a chief. Do you have more courage? Are you growing? Are you really? Do you have a fishing license for men? Do you? Or are you a silent, I was going to say obstacle. No, that's not the word I want. Just a silent something that people can look at and try to figure out themselves. And you never open your mouth about what Jesus has done for you or what he can do for the world. Letter F, the cost of self-denial. I like to ask applicants when we're going through instruction class before baptism, depending what lesson I'm teaching, I will always ask them this question. Are you finding it as a young Christian? Are you finding, is it Christian life easy or is it hard? And guess what they say every time? Guess. It's hard to live the Christian life, and I'm ready for them. I quickly tell them, young folks, it's like this. Jesus said his burden is light and it's easy. And the sooner you as a young person learn to graciously surrender your will and your selfishness, the sooner you learn to graciously give up your own will, the quicker you are going to learn to enjoy the Christian life. And there's a lot of truth in that. Are you growing, or are you still, as an adult, a father, a grandpa, are you still like the individual, the young Christian? Oh, it's just so hard to live the Christian life. Sometimes I wonder, is it really worth it? It's just so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. It's so painful. I can't do anything I want to do myself. Growing in the Christian life. The compensation of self-denial. Letter A. Selfish living never satisfies the soul. Selfish living never satisfies. Y'all know anybody that's grown up to be an adult and they're still selfish? And you know, if you know anybody like that, you know full well they're not pleasant to be around. All they talk about is themselves and how everybody else hurt them. And they don't recognize the gifts that God gave them. And, you know, they're just not very pleasant to be around. Selfish living never satisfies. Letter B, sacrificial living finds great comfort and rest in doing what our Creator asks us to do. May I repeat that? Sacrificial living finds great comfort and rest in doing what our Creator asks us to do, because God knows what He's doing. Just like that bank account to the very penny, God knew what He was doing. And God knows what He's doing when He asks you to obey your parents. God knows what He's doing when He asks you to submit to church leaders. God knows what He's doing when He asks you to, in honor, prefer one another in the brotherhood. God knows what He's doing. Compensation of self-denial, Matthew 10:42. Rewards are coming down the pike. Even a cup of cold water given with the right spirit in a servant attitude will be rewarded on yonder shore. One little cup of cold water given in a spirit of servanthood will be rewarded. Letter D, the compensation of self-denial. We can be accounted worthy to escape the horrors of the great tribulation, Luke 21, verse 36. And we can be accepted into heaven itself and live with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. I can't imagine. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, while Jesus gives us rest. In this troubled world, there's a rest yet awaiting that will far supersede the rest that we have in this earth. Are you growing? Are you getting bigger spiritually? Do you know what it's like to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him? And do it kindly and graciously. Oh, Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that. For your sake, for your kingdom, I'm willing to do that. Let me throw out a warning here to the brethren on the front bench. We are living in a time when selfish living is making an inroad into our churches like I don't ever remember in my short lifetime. Preachers that are unwilling to go and serve because I would skip my wife's birthday or my child's birthday. I can't go then because that's my son and my or my daughter's birthday or our anniversary. Listen, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on sacrifice. Do we understand that? Sacrificial living is so important in our churches today. In conclusion, Self-denial needs to be taught to the next generation at a young age. You hear that, parents? How do we teach self-denial to our little children at a young age? Well, when our children were little, I remember a preacher saying something like this. Every father should observe while he's in the home. When his children are young, he should observe when his child is very busy playing a certain game. And while he's very active and very busy playing a certain game, daddy should say his name or her name and say, come here, I want to talk to you. Because, he said, someday God's going to call that young person, and it's important that young person, no matter what they're doing, is willing to leave it all behind and go and do what the Heavenly Father says. And I well remember sitting on the sofa one night, and one of our daughters was back in the library playing a game. And I called her name and said, Daddy wants to talk to you, come here. And I was thrilled and blessed when I heard this little voice coming from back in the library. Daddy, I'm coming! That's what the Heavenly Father does when he calls us to do something. And we say, Father, I'm coming. I'm willing. Just the other day at market, the little 5.5-year-old girl, about so high, came with her, perhaps a 7-year-old sister, and her parents came into our stand at market. And the little girl, the little 5.5-year-old girl, walked right up to us. And she said, and how's your day going? I said, we're having a good day. And she said, that's because God is blessing you. And I hope God blesses you with a whole lot of sales that you can buy a bigger house and a bigger car. And oh, she went on and on and on how she hopes God continues to bless us. I wish it would have been a Mennonite. Not the part about getting rich, but the part of giving a testimony of a Heavenly Father who watches over us. We have adults today who are ashamed to open their mouth for Jesus in public. And too often, dear ones, we're raising a generation that's worse yet. I challenge you, daddies and mamas, get your children, teach your children to become kingdom workers. When they don't have that shame and afraidness, you know, a child can speak up and say kind of whatever's on their mind. Sometimes it's embarrassing to us parents, but teach them to talk about God to even adults. Self-denial needs to be taught to the younger generation. Last but not least, understand with me tonight, grow in your understanding that it is a tremendous blessing, privilege, and benefit to deny yourself and follow the meek and lowly Jesus. Tremendous blessing, privilege. Please, please don't chafe under it. God is looking for his servants today to be excited about serving him, willing to graciously deny yourself, take up your cross, and walk after Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.